So, yes, I was told that I would have to go into hospital and that I would need to go into hospital on that day because they didn't feel that I was safe on my own and they felt that I was too poorly to be going back home. Even though I explained to them it was my daughter's birthday the next day, I think we all came to the agreement really that I was too poorly to be at home at all. And I felt really unwell. I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, feeling scared or feeling a bit worried. It was like I had some kind of flu that was overtaking my body and just completely had control of me. It was almost like a virus had been uploaded into my nervous system and was just completely and utterly destroying me from the inside. I mean, if somebody had told me that I had a parasite eating away at my brain, I would have believed them because it was so visceral and so strong. Anyway, so what they decided to do was admit me to a psychiatric mother and baby unit. And the purpose of these units is, I know it's kind of self-explanatory in a way, but is to look after mums whilst ensuring that they are able to bond and maintain the bond with their baby as much as possible. And also to make sure that they are able to get better in as small a time, for a shorter time frame as possible. And having baby with them, with mums, is actually much quicker at ensuring a recovery, or much more effective at ensuring the recovery, and helps the recovery a lot more than if you don't have your baby with you. So I think there's been some kind of, you know, big studies that have proven this to a point where mother and baby units have been seen to be incredibly beneficial for everybody. And they have a range of professionals in there. They've got psychiatric nurses to look after mummies. They've got doctors to look after mummies. They have the psychiatric nurse obviously is much more day-to-day with mums, and the doctors, you sort of see them once or twice a week, or if you're in an emergency you can see them more than that, but generally they will put you on some, or they'll treat you with drugs over a course of a few weeks, and you'll see them once or twice a week in ordinary circumstances. In addition you've got a social worker, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, their job is to make sure that everybody in the family is safe, really, and to identify any potential issues that might compromise that safety. And then an occupational therapist whose job it is to keep mum's practical skills up whilst in the hospital, but also to try and talk about a recovery plan for when mum goes out the hospital with the baby, and how that they're going to achieve, you know, safe and confident travel and get back into normal life again after a severe illness like this. And they've got nursery nurses. Nursery nurses look after babies. Did I already say that? I hope not. Nursery nurses look after the babies, and they also, you know, kind of will accompany you or help you if you're too poorly to look after the baby yourself. They will actually stand around with you or supervise you so that you feel that you're not alone, but at the same time they will let you do as much as you can or as much as you decide you want to do. So there were times in the hospital when I was in bed and I couldn't get out of bed, but they would still bring Amelia in so I could change her nappy on the bed, or they would put her in the pram and bring her to me every hour or so that I could say hello and give her a kiss or something like that. So while I was in the unit, I was in there for 6 weeks from beginning to end, and for most of that time I was really poorly. So when I first went in, I was having waking convulsions. Well, I say waking convulsions, it was like these shaking episodes where I'd feel completely detached and fall into what I felt like was a kind of hell. I'd just shake the whole time and just kind of tense up. My whole body would seize up, sort of thing. And I would then get a surge of adrenaline that would just take over me and make me think the most weird things and be completely negative and just kind of change my character in a really weird way. And I don't know what this was. I called it Zelda because I felt like I was being possessed, basically. And I said, oh, Zelda's coming, you guys better go, or whatever, you know. Or I'd be in the middle of dinner and I'd say, oh, Zelda's coming, I better go myself and go and hide in my room and have one of these kind of episodes of shaking and crying and convulsing and everything, and then I'd come back and just carry on a conversation. So I was doing that almost, I mean, at the beginning I was doing it almost every 10 minutes. And then I was not sleeping. I wasn't able to eat, really. I wasn't able to easily talk because I had so much sort of breathing through these episodes to do. And I wasn't really able to regulate my mood at all, to control it. It was just completely all over the place. So I was just like, one minute I'd be fine, the next minute I'd just be crying and in just a complete hysterical mess. And so what they did was I saw the doctor and they gave me lots of diazepam and didn't really do anything. They gave me a sleeping tablet as well. I think it was Zopiclone or something, like one of the Z drugs they call them, and they're kind of hypnotic drugs that try and get you off to sleep. So yeah, they gave me those drugs at first and I didn't feel that they worked really. But eventually they put me on an antidepressant, and they put me eventually onto the maximum dose of that. And they also put me on a low-dose antipsychotic drug. And I think part of that was to try and get me to sleep, but also to try and regulate my mood and to try and get rid of some of the symptoms that I was having. So I was having a few auditory and visual hallucinations. One of them was, the visual hallucination was that I was seeing sound. So when people were talking to me, if I was having a conversation, I would be able to see their words in the air in the form of little sort of pinpricks of light that were kind of dancing about in front of my eyes. I had the auditory hallucinations were basically like a buzzing noise, and it sounded like there was a bee in the room with me all the time and I could hear it in the air. Also, I could hear what sounded like a kind of whirring noise. It was like a kind of like that. And then I could also hear, at some point during the time that I was in hospital, I could hear what sounded like scrambled whispers that were coming from the window. And I knew that they weren't real, but nevertheless, it scared me. And you know, sometimes I'd hear the TV outside and I wouldn't be sure what was real and what wasn't. Also, I was experiencing continued vertigo and headaches and just feeling really, really ice cold all the time. And every time I went to sleep, I'd wake up with a jolt and, you know, be completely, utterly terrified that something bad was going to happen. At my worst, I thought that I had fatal sporadic insomnia, which is a really rare disease that kills people from lack of sleep. I thought that I was going to die, and I made plans to ensure that could happen in my control. And I got some cherries because I'd been told that the insides of cherry stones could be lethal to humans. And I got some cherries and I was all ready to eat them. And then at just the last minute, before I crumpled up the stones and squished the insides and then ate them, I phoned up my friend and he said, well, it won't work anyway. And it was the same friends I'd spoken to ages before, and he had to put up with Mad Sal again. And I phoned him up, and then after that I started to improve. And I think, I don't know if it was like I hit rock bottom, or whether it was just that the antipsychotic drugs were kicking in or whatever. Anyway, after a while I did really start to improve, and I started eating again, sleeping again. I started to feel like slightly like myself again, I suppose. I mean, all the sleepless nights that I'd had and all the terrifying nightmares that I'd been having about, you know, family members dying, me dying, and all these horrible feelings. I just remember, you know, the night before I started to get better, there was really a turning point, and this was when I phoned my best friend and phoned my other friends and spoke to people and really reached out, because I realised how desperate I was. Before that happened, I just got to the point where I just felt there was no point in carrying on at all, when I was Googling ways to